Trauma-informed care. It's all about recognizing the signs and symptoms of trauma in patients and families, and then realizing the impact that trauma can have on a person's life. We continue our exploration of trauma with Tennessee Tech's Dr. Elizabeth Ramsey.
A child who has not, who has just been in a nurturing environment, you know, they've grown up, their main goal has not been survival. They've been able to just thrive in their healthy development. That child gets bumped into, excuse me, oh, pardon me, oops, we bumped into each other. Where likewise you have a child who have experienced trauma in their life and they get bumped into like that. And buddy, that can be a trigger for them.
The grizzly bear.
It's the grizzly bear. And then you think about that prefrontal cortex that gave that other child that ability to self-regulate and to say, it's okay, you bumped into me, not a big deal. But the kid who experienced a lot of trauma, a lot of adverse childhood experiences, they might be the kid who you might see a situation where they get really upset, they might start fighting, they might run, they might start crying. You just see different behaviors in those children. And it happens to grown adults as well. You know, they just get agitated. They start feeling like, I've got to be on guard. I've, you know, quick to react.
So the fixing it, though, is not something that you wave a wand and Mm-mm. It fixes itself.
No. The fixing it comes through a lot of, trauma-informed care. It comes through a trauma-informed care approach. So when we can start to learn how to respond to people, I can tell you one of the things that really helps people are sensory activities. So anything, I love encouraging people to experiment with the arts, any type of, music, movement, dance, anything where they're going to be able to just engage in activities. The truth of the matter is with trauma, it's oftentimes very difficult to put it into words. And if you've ever heard that expression, I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. And a lot of times people have that response to traumatic experiences. It's the part of their brain that controls speech absolutely has just shut down and they don't know what to say. So to try to get somebody to talk about it actually sometimes is just not helpful at all. And I have found myself one of the most helpful things that I've done, especially with children that I've worked with, is I would sit with them and ask them, you know, let's sit here and I might give them an activity like, I want you to think about a time that you had a conflict with someone and how you worked through that. And let's draw a picture about that. And while they're sitting with me drawing these pictures, you know what they start to do is they start to talk about it. But if I were to ask them, tell me about a time you had a conflict with a person, or write about it, they're not able to do it. But if I can give them that tool of, can you draw this? Can you paint it? So that's really a good tool. Another thing is journaling. Any type of activity where you're getting outside and moving, sports activities can be very beneficial for adults and children alike. And then, of course, just a lot of times we just like to talk about like grounding activities, things that will bring people back, into reality. I teach a 5-4-3-2-1 method of grounding. Mindfulness is another one that we really try to teach and just implement. So those are things that can really help people. And, of course, counseling. Sometimes people need medication. You know, and that would be up to their primary care physician therapist they're seeing. But all of those things are very beneficial.
Dr. Elizabeth Ramsey is our guest. She is a Tennessee Tech professor of human ecology. We continue. Continuing with Dr. Elizabeth Ramsey, I bet there's someone listening, and I imagine you hear this from time to time. Oh, come on. This is just more of this. We got to get in touch with our feelings and, you know, rub some dirt on it and let's move on.
Yeah.
How do you answer that?
Well, you know, I do hear that a lot. So first of all, to that person who may be listening who says, come on, let's pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. Let's get this done. And what I really feel like we need to remember is that when people have experienced adverse experiences, when they have experienced traumatic events, a lot of times they don't have the capability of pulling themselves up by their bootstraps. And especially when you look at young children, and I'm gonna quote one of the doctors that I follow who has done a lot of education in adverse childhood experiences, but he said, you know, you can't look at a baby and say, okay, come on, pull yourself up by your booty straps. Come on. Because the truth of the matter is that people need help. They need a community to come around them and support them. And the truth of the matter is if we don't intervene on behalf of people, we really begin to see some long-term problems. And so it's really in the best interest of all of us if we can do things to help people who have experienced trauma, to help children who have experienced trauma, and, you know, really, really make a difference for those people, because what we all want is a healthy, functioning society and communities. And the truth of the matter is that if we have people who we're not helping become healthy, functioning members of society, we don't get there as a society. So I think it's really critical that we ask ourselves kind of those tough questions. And I'll be honest with you, and I'm just going to be totally real for a moment. When I started in my PhD program, my area of research, one of the things that really interested me was neonatal abstinence syndrome. And those were babies who were born addicted to drugs. Their mothers abused drugs while they were pregnant. And I'm just going to be totally real and say the reason why I was interested in that is, number one, I was a mother. And let me just preface all of this by saying I had two wonderful parents who loved me. I had a very good childhood. I have four beautiful kids. I've been married to the same man my whole life, you know, my whole adult life, and we share these four kids together. And I start off researching these children who were born to mothers who had substance abuse issues. And I had held those babies. I watched them withdraw. I watched them shake. I watched them cry and held them for hours on end. They would cry for 5 hours, these babies. They have immature nervous systems, digestive systems, they're vomiting, their color is gray. I mean, this is painful to watch. And do you know the thought that I had is, how could anybody do this to a baby? That's what I thought. And so for those people who are listening to me and thinking, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, well, I can tell you I thought that about those mothers. But you know what I started to do? Before I did my correlational study of the entire state, I started with a qualitative study. And if you've ever heard of qualitative research, it's where you interview people and you hear their stories. And you know what I began to realize as I dove into that literature and I began to look at the stories of the mothers? I realized these mothers weren't little girls who thought, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to be a drug addict and I'm going to get pregnant and I'm going to have babies. That was not their life goal. These are women who had very challenging childhoods. And as a result of their needs not being met and no supportive caregivers or parents helping them, you know what? Those women ended up as addicts because they were self-medicating. And they ended up pregnant. And now we've got a baby who has NAS. And so it really drove home the point to me that not everybody had a childhood like mine. Not everybody got to be pregnant and have a healthy, safe environment like I did. And to these women who end up in these circumstances, I just began to have compassion on them. And I began to see, you know what? We got to start to do something different as a society. Because the societal outcomes, well, it's detrimental.
Well, having the knowledge and having the research seems to me, it allows you to do things earlier. We're talking about children a lot today.
Mm-hmm.
But it allows you to step in and do things faster.
Yes.
In their development.
Yes.
That prevent, you know, what's the old saying? You know, a child that grew up in a home of a drug abuser becomes a drug abuser.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and is that a direct correlation or are there things that mm-hmm. can be done?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a person who has this trauma grows up to commit mm-hmm. crimes. I mean, all of those things that we've
right.
heard for years and years and years. Is that a part of it that we can get in there faster?
Yes. Okay, so you're identifying kind of a soapbox topic for me,
uh-oh.
Which is parent education. And yes, if we can prevent these atrocities from occurring, if we can prevent childhood trauma, we're going to prevent a lot of societal woes.
Tennessee Tech professor Dr. Elizabeth Ramsey is our guest. She's a professor of human ecology. I don't want our time to run out completely before we mention the Putnam County Resilience Coalition, which you are a part of. Jada Campbell, one of the leaders in making that happen. Briefly explain what the coalition is about.
Yeah, so our coalition began just kind of a think tank of us got together that Jada put together, Jada Campbell. And we just began to talk about the importance of building resilience in our community, building, you know, this idea of, you know, how to just spread knowledge, share knowledge, and just connect agencies, anybody working with people, you know, just to connect those agencies in a way that would be empowering for them and help them offer a trauma-informed care approach. Now, with that said, we have the board charged me with just a preliminary research study that I worked on, where I just tried to survey the 12 different sectors in society, just look at in the community, just look at get a baseline, kind of, I would call this like maybe like a needs assessment. What do we know and what do we need? And so we just gathered some information about what these different agencies and these different people groups knew about adverse childhood experiences and trauma-informed care. And overwhelmingly, I'll tell you, you know, that, you know, I just pulled the data before I walked in here and just kind of refreshed myself looking at it again. You know, overwhelmingly, when you ask people if they've heard of adverse childhood experiences, if they've heard of trauma-informed care, the answer is a lot of times yes. You know, you get a lot of people who say, yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah, I've heard something about that. But when you really kind of get down to the nitty-gritty of it and start asking people, are you trained in trauma-informed care? Because our state rolled out an initiative, the Building Strong Brains Initiative, where we followed a train-the-trainer model, and we trained people in adverse childhood experiences, and we also trained people in that training, also trauma-informed care approach. And what I found is the majority of people, when I look at it, about 70 to 75% of people hadn't been trained. And, you know, these are people who are you know, in the community working with people. And so we just finally, I wrapped that study up at the beginning of the year. I was analyzing data in about January, February of this year. after that, you know, my next step as a researcher, I've started to write a concept paper, kind of what did that data tell us and where do we need to go from here? And so we are really trying to, you know, just determine those next steps as a coalition. There's a few things that we have done as so that we are trying to just make available to the community. So Dr. Seiler, Dr. Bauer at Tennessee Tech are working with a coalition there, a support coalition. And we wrote a grant. So I worked with Dr. Bauer, Dr. Seiler, and Dr. Grimes, and we did a Rural Reimagined grant and got funding to train the community in mental health first aid, and then also adverse childhood experiences. So what our Putnam County Resilience Coalition, we did just try to kind of piggyback off of that and offer those trainings. You know, that's kind of the first, I feel like, right, almost seed of, you know, we're trying to offer just information to the community.